if you call that being brainwashed, well, what are you being washed with? What are you being influenced by? The Bible says don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't be involved in that. The Bible says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind if we're going to prove God's will. And I believe a lot of believers miss out on the will of God because of there's a lack of separation. So I've chosen to start this study on careful separation with a message tonight, a Bible study message. Why should you practice separation? Why should you practice separation? And I would like to start out right at the beginning, which is the Bible, and go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 through 5. And notice that right there at the beginning, it says why you should practice separation. I'll read it. It says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." So, in the beginning, God began the creation as a watery matrix. And, of course, it was dark, and it was watery, and it was a matrix. And the Bible says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters," or the watery matrix there. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness, and called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." So notice there in verse 4, the end of verse 4, and this is what I want to focus on. It says, and God divided the light from the darkness. So here's the first mention of separation. And what did God separate? One of the men tell me, what is the first thing that God separated? I'm going to go to Eli because I don't get Eli all the time.
The light and dark.
Yeah, he separated the light and the darkness. And the darkness he called night, and the light he called day, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So the first mention of separation is God. And God separated the light from the darkness. Now, of course, that is physical light and physical darkness. And darkness is the absence of light, and God wanted those things separated, and he wanted the darkness to represent the night, and the light represented the daylight. And so we're preaching on why you should practice separation. And of course, it's because God began that practice of separating light and darkness. God doesn't want to mix the light and the darkness. And so I want to say three things tonight about why should you practice separation. The first thing is, I want to ask a question. What does darkness refer to biblically? If we're going to separate from darkness, we need to know what darkness represents. Amen? Now, the Bible calls you, if you're a born-again Christian, a child of light. The Bible calls you, if you're a born-again Christian, a child of the day. And so we are to operate as those that are walking in the light, we're in the daylight. And of course, the Bible has a meaning for that, not just physical light, but it's spiritual light. Although I do notice that people, when they do things that are bad, they tend to dim the lights. That's why we always say, Brother Joe, I always say we need to make it lighter in here. If there's any way we can get more light in here, more light in a church, we need more light. In a bar, you want it to be darker. Amen? Men love darkness, even physically, more than light when they want to do something evil. Because they want to practice their evil under the cover, you know, of darkness. And so, what does darkness refer to in the Bible? And there are different things, but they're all tied in. Number one, darkness is a place to go to be eternally punished for sin. Matthew 21:30 says, "Then the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now that's a description of hell. Hell we know is hot. Hell we know is horrible. But hell we know is dark. It's outer darkness. A place of torment. A place of suffering. Where people that are not children of the day, they're not born again, they're not children of God, they're going to dwell in outer darkness. And if there's anyone here that you are still in the darkness of being unsaved, that is the final place where you go, God forbid, and we don't want that. You will go to that place if you are unsaved, and you will be punished. It says that that outer darkness is a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I remember when our church first started, we had a couple of ladies that were in the church, and I remember one of the ladies was very much involved with psychedelic drugs, which are common back in the 60s. She had a Volkswagen bug named Sarah. It was a van, and it was kind of hippie, like the old hippies. And our church started in the early 70s, but this was hearkening to the 60s. And this lady lived, and I remember they lived above us, these two ladies. And we nicknamed their apartment the Weeping Walls, the Weeping Walls. And it was kind of hellish because one of these ladies had flashbacks and psychedelic flashbacks, and I believe she was oppressed by the devil. And it was sad to see that happening. And the Bible says that hell will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It'll be a place of darkness. And God separates the light from the darkness. If you're saved, thank God you don't have to go there. You won't go there. You'll be in a place of light, and the Bible says Jesus will be the physical light of the New Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? There'll be no night there. Did you hear me? No night there in the New Jerusalem. Glory to God. You say, well, I get tired at night. You won't be. You won't be. And so Jesus is the light. but secondly, under this heading of what does darkness refer to in the Bible, secondly, it's a lack of knowledge of spiritual truth. It's a lack of knowledge of spiritual truth. The Bible says, by the way, the entrance of thy what? Thy word giveth what? Light. The Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my pathway. I like the lights coming down the aisle here. We can walk right down this aisle. And God's word will lead us if we follow the light of his word. And he gives you an understanding of his word. The Bible says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There is in the world a desire to avoid the light, a desire to avoid the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, and a desire to get away from somebody that embodies the Word of God, because you're convicting and it's shining the light. And so light here is understanding of God's truth. Darkness is a lack of knowledge. And the light that came into this world was the Lord Jesus, who was God coming into this world in human flesh. And remember, on the Mount of Transfiguration, his inner light, the inner glory of God, shined out through him. And it was so bright and glorious. And so it says in the Bible in John 1:9, that was the true light, speaking of Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus is the one who created the world. He spoke it into existence. And the creation is the light from Jesus that lights every man. Every man, whether he has a Bible or not, knows the Godhead is there, that the Godhead created that. And so Jesus is the light. There's also the light of conscience. Everybody has the conscience and the law of God written in the heart. And the world knows when they sin against that light, and that's where societies make laws based on that, and should make laws based on certain moral understanding that comes from the Creator and comes from the Lord. So it says that that was the true light, speaking of Jesus, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. But what does it say about the world and that knowledge of the truth? It says, and the world knew him not. The world knew him not. By the way, even the Jewish people, when he came to the Jewish people and presented himself as their Messiah, it says he came unto his own and his own received him not. You see, the darkness is not only a place of punishment where those that reject the light of the gospel of Jesus go, but it's also a lack of spiritual understanding of God's truth. And that's why the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. I remember my brother telling me, he said, when I came home from Bible college, he said, I asked you counsel because I had to give a devotional to the youth group, and it was on Romans chapter 12. And he said, I asked you to give me some pointers because you were a Bible college student. So I gave him Romans 12 and the teaching. I said, here's what you can share. He said, everything you said made no sense to me at all, because he wasn't saved. He didn't get saved until later when he went to a Baptist camp there as a senior in high school, and then he had the Holy Spirit, and then he could understand spiritual things. But if you are not born again, don't expect to understand the teaching of the Word of God that the preacher does on a Wednesday night, a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening. Don't expect it, because you need to be born again to have that understanding. So really, you're in darkness. By the way, what comes first in the Bible, the darkness or the light? One of the men tell me, in the original creation, which was here first, darkness or light?
Darkness.
Darkness. And in your life, when you're born from your mother, my mother's here tonight, when I was born from my mother, I was born in spiritual darkness. And as I grew up, I was in spiritual darkness. You see, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you won't understand the things of God. People say, oh, we need a modern Bible. What you need is to be born again. So you can understand the Bible and understand spiritual things. And there's such lacking, as it says in the book of Revelation. You need to have gold, and you need to have your eyes opened, and so forth. And so that is another understanding of darkness, all right? And there's a third thing about darkness in the Bible, place of punishment, lack of spiritual understanding. A third thing of darkness is it refers to God's secret counsel. God's secret counsel. And in Matthew 10:27, the Bible says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what hear ye in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. In other words, God gives us the light of his truth. God gives us an understanding of his truth. If you are a born-again child of God, the secret of the Lord is with you. But it's secret and dark to the world. It's hidden in darkness. It's light to you. It's kind of like Egypt when they followed after Moses and the children of Israel. Israelites had light, a pillar of light. But the Egyptians had darkness. And so darkness, you see, in the Bible is God giving his people the secret of his truth, but it's dark to those that don't understand it. That's why I believe it says in the book of Job, God says to somebody trying to give spiritual counsel without knowledge, who is this that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? In other words, God gives you the light of his counsel, the light of his word, but those that are not saved, they're in darkness. They don't understand that. So who are they to try to give the word of God out? I would be, of all men, most miserable if I was an unsaved preacher. Can you imagine that? I didn't want to be a preacher before I was saved. I didn't want to be in church before I got saved. My mother, my mother can tell you, I was raised on drugs. I was drugged to church Sunday morning. And I know other people that are raised in Baptist churches, they're raised on drugs. Drugged not only Sunday morning, but drugged Sunday evening and drugged Wednesday night. Drugged to church. But if you're really saved, you know, you don't dwell in darkness. And so you shouldn't have to be raised on drugs. You should want to be here and get in the light. But listen, if you're a child of God, you've been stepping out in the darkness, you're not all too excited about being here tonight. You're not too excited about being in church because you see you're influenced by the darkness. A child of God can step out of the light and get comfortable with the darkness. Amen? Yeah, we can get comfortable. You know, your eyes adjust to the darkness. And you kind of get in the dark and you don't want the light. And that's why we need to make it even brighter, Brother Joe. Lights all over this place. I'm just saying that men love darkness rather than light. And darkness refers to how the world doesn't see what we see, doesn't know what we know. It's the hidden secrets of God that we see. We're in the light, praise God, but the world is in darkness. And so there's a fourth thing in the Bible about this first point that I'm trying to make. The first point is, what does darkness refer to spiritually and biblically? And the fourth thing is, darkness in the Bible also refers to the wicked practices out there in the world. The wicked practices out there in the world. And a lot of the stuff, you know, people get drunk, they get drunk in darkness. People that go to strip clubs, they have darkness. There's so much darkness out there. That's called the nightlife. Prostitutes, when do they ply their trade? They ply their trade at night. They like to do it at night. Hooters, they thrive at night and all of that kind of stuff. And so I'm just saying that darkness refers to the wickedness that's out there in the world. And here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye, speaking of Christians, you plural, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And darkness is talking about, like we just said, the darkness of not understanding God and his word, the darkness of the wicked practices that go against God's holiness and go against God's word, the darkness of the fact that people are headed to hell and outer darkness if they don't get saved and get into the light of salvation. And then there's a fifth and last thing that biblically describes darkness, and darkness is the realm of Satan. Satan is the god of this world, small g, and he also is the prince of darkness. He's called the prince of darkness. He's the one that does things in the dark and loves darkness. And Satan wants to keep the light of God's truth from shining to people. He doesn't want your friends to get the light in them. He doesn't want your family members that are still in darkness to have the light that you may have. He doesn't want you, if you don't yet have the light, to get born again and to have the light of God shining in your life. And so here's what it says about the work of Satan. But if our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, small g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Should we shine the light? Oh, we should. Should we make the gospel clear? Oh, we should. But we need to know that the prince of darkness, though we tremble not for him, he is there to put that blinder up to people. And you can see it. And you say, what do we need to shatter that veil, that darkness? We need somebody more powerful than the God of this world. We need the God, capital G. We need the Spirit of God. We need to have a fresh baptism with and in the Holy Ghost of God to have power. So you break through that darkness and the light shines. The light shines. I remember when I gave the gospel to a Wilda Rodriguez over the phone. Her testimony was, I was raised in a Pentecostal Hispanic church, Puerto Rican church, and it was just rules to me. It was just regulations. She said, when you were talking to me, it was like that veil that hid me from Jesus was ripped from my eyes. And now I really saw and really understood. And so we need to realize we're fighting the prince of darkness, and he is powerful, but God is all powerful. So the devil is the ultimate head of the darkness of this present evil world. I go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know what that means? That means the devil is organized. Amen. I think we should get organized. The Bible says, do all things decently and in order, Colossians chapter 1. And we need to have organization, and we need to rank under, wives submit to the husbands, and so forth and so on. And we need to have that order, children obey the parents and so forth. And Satan thrives on disorder, and he tries to bring in confusion. And have you noticed all the confusion he's tried to bring in with the God-anointed president, and how God's raised him up and how many good things are happening? But you wouldn't know it to hear the demon rat speak, and you wouldn't know it to hear the lying media speak that are under the prince of the power of the air. They don't want us to know the good things that God is doing. But if you have eyes to see, you can know when your prayers are being answered and when God is blessing. And so, why should you practice separation? Well, you have to first of all know what does darkness refer to biblically, and then separate yourself from that. Don't be pulled aside by that, number one. Okay, number two, God always wants the light separate from the darkness. God himself always wants the light to be separated from the darkness. We saw that at the beginning in Genesis 1:4b, and God divided the light from the darkness. So it says it right there. So if you are a saved person, then you are a follower of Jesus. Now, some follow him better than others. Amen. But every saved person, can we get an agreement here? Every saved person, to one degree or another, is a follower of Jesus. And Jesus is the light of the world. And so you've been saved, and that light is shining. And if you're a saved person, you're a follower of Jesus, who is constantly shining his light before you so that you do not need to walk in darkness. Now, since your salvation, You have Jesus and the light of Jesus shining upon you. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you don't really understand these things. You don't have that spiritual light. But if you're saved, you understand Jesus is the light of the world, and he is shining for you so you won't bump into things. How many have been in a basement or in a dark place and you bumped into things because it was dark? I have a problem. I take my flashlight out and sing the hymns because it's too dark up here. I can't see up here. I don't have bad eyes. It's just too dark up here. There's not enough light. When I go there to sing, I can't see. And so I take this out and I shine it on the songbook. And I can sing, amen, with understanding. And so, you know, it's important to have light. And Jesus is that light by his Spirit that shines upon you so that you can avoid things that the world will crash right into. You can avoid things that will hurt you. As I've said before, God's commandments, you don't break God's commandments. What do I say that you do when you run into God's commandments?
May I make a correction, sir?
No. You break yourself on God's commandments. You break yourself on God's commandments because you're running into God's commandments. It's like if I'm driving down the highway and instead of staying in the roadway, I run up the median and I'm bumping on the median. Now, have I ever done that? Well, yes, I have. I've done some stupid things. I've been in a parking lot, you know, where they have those big, whatever they are, those partitions, you know, for your car to run up against when you park. And I'm talking to a deacon, I remember years ago, not any of you, the old deacons, a deacon's meeting up in Clark Summit. We finished the deacon's meeting, and I went, put the car in, and ran right over the, and it was stuck up under my car. It was a mess. So I've done that. And I am my mother's son, amen. But I've done that, and it's crazy. But I'm saying that Jesus is the light spiritually that shines there so we can avoid running into things that will hurt us, and that is to go against God's word. And the Bible says that Jesus, it says, then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have, what? The light of life, the light of life. And I think about the Israelites. You know, they were coming out of Egypt, like I said. And at nighttime, God was a pillar of fire. And what was that pillar of fire doing? It was shining forward for them. It was behind them and shining forward for them. You say, why was it behind them? Because the Egyptians were coming after them. But one of the men tell me, what was the other side of the pillar? Brother Luke.
Darkness.
Darkness. And that was for the Egyptians. So they couldn't see in front of their face. They were like blind as bats. And the Israelites had the light. God wants you to benefit from the light. And so God always wants the light separate from the darkness. If you're a saved person, then you abide or remain in the place where the light of God is happening in your life. Jesus said in John 12:46, he said, I'm come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not, get this, abide in darkness. Did you hear that? That whosoever believes. So if a person abides constantly in darkness and they live their life in evil ways and that's all they know and they don't have an understanding of God's truth, you have to question whether they really believed upon him, don't you? Because when you believe upon him, his light shines. And he says, I'll read it again. I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The Lord Jesus came into the world to do his finished work so that you should not be living in darkness, but that you should always have the light. You say, well, what about when I sin? Well, you sin against the light. You sin with your eyes open. You know what you're doing. And that is sad when we sin and we know what we're doing. And the Lord also has given each of you the light of His prophetic word so that you can be aware of where you are and what prophetic season are you living in. If I ask you tonight, what season are we in? I'm sure you would be able to discern we're in the springtime because it is spring, one of my favorite seasons, especially this time of spring. It's glorious. And the Bible says that you're not ignorant of the times and of the seasons. You should know about the times and you should know about the season. Why? Because you have the teaching of prophecy. You have the teaching of the Word of God. And so God wants you to be able to discern the times and the seasons. And we know all about that and the teaching about that. And God wants you to know that because He doesn't give that to the world, but He gives it to us. And it helps us to witness for Jesus Christ and to know where we are. And so let me say another thing about this whole idea of God always wants the light separate from the darkness. If you are hating your brother or sister in Christ, I'm talking about a born-again brother or sister in Christ, and you hate them, you are stepping out of the light into the darkness. When you start hating it, and I'm talking about a truly born-again believer, and here's what it says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness until now." Now, John doesn't deal with anything halfway in between. It's either, and he says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness until now. But he that hateth his brother is darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You know, there's a real problem if you have a born-again believer that's living a separated life and really shining the light and have it, and you just hate that person. Now, your flesh may hate that person if you're born again, because your flesh doesn't like the light in a believer. But there should be a part of you that loves that person. I remember when I first ran into Charlie Ware, I'd not seen a believer so spiritual, so separated. And I want to be honest with you. I was drawn from that and repulsed by it both. I was drawn in my spirit to him, but my flesh didn't like it and wanted to get away from it. I made the choice. I'm going to hang around this guy. I'm going to stay close. That's a choice that you make as a child of God. But is it comfortable? No, it's not comfortable to your flesh. No, it's not comfortable for the darkness that you have remaining in you, because the Bible says there's the superfluity, the overflowing of the naughtiness of the old man that's still in your mortal body. You don't feel comfortable around somebody that's full of light. But listen, it's what you need. Amen. By the way, a lot of people don't want to get into a real strong, separated, soul-winning church. They don't want to get in it. Why? Because they want to feel better about themselves. But I'd rather feel bad about my flesh and get right with God and get closer to God than be in a church that just is not holy and doesn't preach holiness. And I felt led to preach this series on careful separation, which is holiness. And I felt like I needed it. Did my flesh want to do it? No, my flesh doesn't want to do it. And listen, I'm just saying to you that God wants you to realize that it is important that He always wants the light separated from the darkness. So if you start pulling away from committed born-again believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, living separated lives, then you're pulling away from the truth of God's Word. And if that happens, It's because you don't want your sinful lifestyle to be exposed by your staying too close to committed believers. But what does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What does that mean? Don't hang around with the wrong crowd. Don't hang around with the crowd that thrives in darkness or tries to dim the lights all the time. No, don't hang around with that ungodly crowd. And by the way, don't do it on the TV. Learn to turn the TV off. Learn to get away from the darkness. The cell phone, learn to get away from the darkness. Media, any kind of media where there are dirty words and deeds being pumped into your life. Do you just welcome that in? Just say, that's all right, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's fine, I understand it. Yeah, it's not good. I don't like it, it's not good. Well, why are you still pumping it in then? You know who you're like? Lot. Lot could have gone away from Sodom, but he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Because there's something that attracted him to it, and it's your flesh. Your flesh is attracted to the darkness. But God said you're to step into the light and walk in the light. And so, listen, nip that thing in the bud. Don't even start into it, that program. Don't even start into it. Stay away from it. Careful separation. And that's why I don't go to the movie house at all, the movie theater. Don't go there. Don't go there. And, you know, you can't turn that off if you're in there. And you're caught up with it. And that's careful separation. That's careful separation. And you need to get away from those ungodly movies that you watch on TV. You say, yeah, watch these movies on TV. Why not go to the movie theater? Why not take it the other way? Why not don't go to the movie theater and stop it on TV? Why not go that way with it? But no, people want to go the other way and say, well, I watch it on TV. Let me, hey, clean up your act. Get right with God. And the Bible says the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You know, there's going to be no ungodly cell phones stuff in heaven. None of that junk that you may be looking at. There's going to be no ungodly TV programs in heaven. You think God's going to have that in his TV? No. I believe we'll have 3D TV in heaven, but you'll be seeing Moses cross the Red Sea. You'll be seeing some great shows. God is light. And he's saying every day you live, you're getting closer to heaven if you're saved. So why not get rid of this world now before you get there? Why wait till you get there and you're shocked? Why like that? That's what he's saying here in the scripture I read. And you say, Pastor, I don't like this kind of teaching and preaching. I don't either. My flesh doesn't like it either. Never did. Never did. That's not going to stop me from giving what I need, what you need. That's what we need. I'm with you. I need it just as much as you. But as Brother Eric and I were talking, the Levites were more holy than the people. God had a special calling for them and the priest. And those that get into the ministry, you better start living a holy life and be ahead of everybody else. There's one more thing, and I'll go through it quickly, and that is, why does God want you, his people, to separate from darkness? God wanted a people for himself. And he made you to be that people. Do you know God says, be ye holy for what? I am holy. God is holy and he wants you to get in with him. He doesn't want you to mix the darkness. He wants you holy. And so whenever and whatever degree you step out into the darkness, you are going against God's purpose for your life. I've said it before, I'll say it again tonight. God is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. Sometimes we think, oh, God just wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy. No, God wants you to be holy first. And he wants you to be so holy that he'll take you to the woodshed for some bloodshed sometime. How many of you have ever been beaten by God? Okay, I have. He beats me good. Up one side, down the other. And so God wants us to be holy. And God says that you are disagreeing with him when you try to mix darkness and light. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, you're not going to walk close to God. And you know what? You're going to, not only are you going to go against God's purpose for your life, but you're going to miss out on the enjoyment of his friendship. You're going to miss out. You know, the London Baptist Confession of Faith said the chief purpose of man is to glorify God. And what's the rest of that statement? Does anybody know one of the men? Glorify God. And what, Brother Bob?
Enjoy him continually.
Yeah. Did you get that? Glorify God, but enjoy God. You can't enjoy God when you're walking in darkness. You can't enjoy. You know, I believe we got a lot of Christians. It's like we turn the cell phone on, turn the cell phone off, turn the TV on, turn the TV off, turn the car on, turn the car off. And we think we can do that with God. I'll turn God on Wednesday. I'll turn God on Sunday. But I'll turn him off on Monday. No, you won't. God wants you and I to know that he's got greater joy than anything you could get from what you're watching out there. You know, Hollywood, they know how to do it. They know how to make movies, don't they? But you notice how always they put that evil in there. Put that stuff in there to mess it up. God doesn't mix good and evil. God wants it separated. And we need to get back to that. I'm just saying that you'll give up your enjoyable walk with God. And the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's when we're walking in the light that we enjoy that fellowship. And if we step out of it, right away we get cleansed so we can get back in the light and stay in the light. God warns you when you step into darkness that you're hindering unsaved people from coming to Christ. I believe a lot of churches are not seeing people get saved because people are walking in darkness in the church and it's hindering unsaved people. Why? They see you doing what they're doing and they don't see any difference, and so they have peace with you because you're like a carnal believer. And there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And that's the way it ought to be. When an unsaved person gets around you, there ought to be no peace. You know, Jezebel wanted peace. Jehu said, no peace with you, Jezzy. Throw her out a window. Trample her. That's the way we need to be in our lives when it comes to separation from the world. If you listen to the music of the world, if you drink the alcohol of the world, if you use the bad words of the world, if you go into the churches where the world is comfortable, then that worldly person will not be truly convicted. And if they're not truly convicted, they won't be converted to the Lord. And what a sad thing that is. When light hooks up with darkness, light is always hurt by the darkness. When Lot hooked up with Sodom and brought his family in there, it says that when he went to leave Sodom, his wife lingered and she was judged with the people of Sodom. Even though she got out of the city, she was still judged. How about his sons-in-law? When Lot told them, hey, God spoke to me, we need to get out of Sodom, his sons-in-law said, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Genesis 9:14. See, the light was hurt by his hanging around all the darkness. He didn't have the ability to convince people. You want to have the ability to convince people? Then you need to separate, because God wants his people to separate from darkness. By the way, people that hang around with the world's crowd and get tight with the world's crowd and want to make it with the world's crowd, do you know what a lot of times happens? A guy and a girl will get married. The guy will get married to the unsaved girl, or the unsaved the saved girl will marry the unsaved guy. If you get too close to the world, you'll pay with your children. You say, where do you get that in the Bible? Look at Jehoshaphat, godly King Jehoshaphat. He kept hanging around with his unsaved buddy Ahab and his family, and their kids intermarried, and it was so confusing and such a mess in Judah. Because they hung around. Listen, careful separation. Stay away from that worldly crowd. Don't get too close. Don't get your kids really into the committed crowd. And go to the good committed places. And you will be blessed for separating from the world. And I believe I've seen it, that carnal people, compromising Christians, wind up getting married to unsaved people. I've seen it in my family. I think of some believers, not my immediate family I'm thinking of, but some off that they were believers, but they got compromising with the world and they married unsaved people. They married unsaved people. And once you're married, you're tied into that covenant, man. And that can happen when you compromise. And so that is another reason not to mix light with darkness. So why should you practice separation? God made you for himself, and he teaches you the importance of separating light from darkness. Understand what darkness is. God always wants the light separate from the darkness. Understand that's the way God is. And understand why he wants you as his child to separate from darkness. Let's bow for prayer tonight. We've been talking about careful separation. And this is our first message on that. Why should you practice separation? I wonder in your own life tonight, as you come into church, you say, there's some things.